Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon this Christmas weekend. I'm so glad that you've joined us, and we have the most incredible passage today that we're going to study from the Bible as we talk about the very best Christmas gift ever given. So, let's pray, and we're ready to go. Lord Jesus, thank you for this Christmas celebration, this Christmas holiday. And Father, I pray that it would turn our hearts and our minds to the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth that very first Christmas day. Father, use the Word of God in our life today to, in a mighty way, bring us to you, point us to you, teach us about your great offer that you make us in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the plan of salvation that he offers us. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okie dokie. Now, remember, here at Lon Solomon Ministries, we're using the New King James Version of the Bible. And what do we study? We study what? Say it with me. The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our life. That's what we're going to do today. Now, if I ask you what was the most famous Bible verse, what would you say? Well, there would be a number of them that I think would be up for consideration. But certainly one of them would be John 3:16. You know, this is the sign that you see hanging in ball games or that you see written on the street in chalk or whatever. But what exactly does John 3:16 say? What exactly is it telling us? What exactly is God offering us in John 3:16? Well, I don't know how many of you have ever heard a sermon on John 3:16. I mean, we know it's this great verse, but for some reason, most preachers don't preach on it. So I'm going to preach on it today. John 3:16, let's put it up on the screen. Here's what it says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The verse, John 3:16, is made up of four phrases. Did you see them? Look, here we go. Look, let's put them up. Number one, for God so loved the world. Number two, that he gave his only begotten Son. Phrase number three, that whoever believes in him, phrase number four, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so what we want to do now is we want to take the verse apart and look at all four of these phrases and make sure that we exegete them and explain them and really make sure we understand what those phrases are saying. And then we'll put them all back together and see what this marvelous verse as a whole is saying. So that's our plan. Here we go. First of all, for God so loved the world. You know, when I got married, my wife Brenda and I have been married 49 years, 49 and a half. Wow. But when I first got married, I had to learn a new language. You say Brenda is fluent in another language but English? No, not exactly. The language I had to learn was this language. Lon, how do you feel about? And then Brenda would fill in the blank. As you know, men don't walk around talking to each other like that. In fact, I'm not sure I've ever walked up to any of my fraternity brothers in college and said to them, how did you feel about this? Or any of my seminary buddies, well, how do you feel about that? Men don't ask questions like that. Men don't talk to each other like that. But my wife, that's how she wanted to communicate. How do you feel about this, Lon? And you know what? A lot of times I couldn't answer the question because not only don't men talk like that, men don't think like that. I didn't know how I felt about anything. I would say, Brenda, you know, I don't really think I feel anything about that. She's like, yes, you do. And I'm like, no, I don't think I do. But that wasn't satisfactory. Now I know how to talk like that and how to communicate like that, but I had to learn. Now, if you were to ask the average human being, how do you think God feels about the human race? What would they say? Well, I think many, many people would say God doesn't feel any way about the human race. God just sits up there in heaven, and he just lets the world do whatever it's going to do, and he has no real feelings for it one way or the other. He's just kind of neutral. He's just kind of indifferent to people and their everyday problems. But my friends, that is not at all what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God feels very strongly and intimately about the human race, that God loves people. He loves the human race. That God loves the human race personally, not just as a race, but he loves every individual human being personally and individually and dramatically. I remember in the 70s, there was a television show starring Teddy Savalas called Kojak. Many of you have seen it. Kojak was this rough, tough cop who used to always walk around with a Tootsie Roll Pop in his mouth and give them out to people. And when he would give them to people, he'd always say to them, "Who loves you, baby?" Well, my friends, God could ask every human being on the face of the earth that question. Who loves you, baby? And the answer would be for every one of us, I do. God does. Yes, God would say. Who loves you, baby? I do. Deeply, intimately, and dramatically. For God so loved the world, phrase number two, then what did he do? Well, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave to us his only begotten Son. God loves us so much, he gave us a gift. That's what you do for people that you love. If you love somebody, you want to make them happy. You want to give them pleasure. You want to give them gifts that make them feel good and meet their needs. So God so loved the world that he gave the world, the human race, something. And what did he give us? He gave us his only begotten Son. Now, the word only begotten is a single word in the Greek New Testament, monogenes. And let's look at it. The word mono means one, only. And begotten here comes from the word genao in the Greek. We get our word genus from it, like species, genus. And it means a kind. One of a kind is what the word literally means. That God gave us his monogenes, his one-of-a-kind son. Now, why would the Bible call Jesus the one-of-a-kind son of God? Well, because he is. He's God, and man together. He's the God-man. He's God wrapped in human flesh. There's never been another being like him, and there never will be another being like him. And he proved that he was one of a kind. He proved that he was God wrapped in human flesh. Over and over and over again, demonstrating it in the New Testament. You say, how did he demonstrate it? Because he demonstrated all the prerogatives of God. He demonstrated the power of God that he had over sickness, healing people who had every disease known to man, including leprosy. He demonstrated the power of God that he had over infirmity, over disability, over people who had handicaps, whether they were blind or whether they were deaf or whether they were mute or whether they couldn't walk and were lame or whatever. He demonstrated the power of God over the natural forces of the world. He walked on water. He calmed the winds and the waves on the Sea of Galilee. He had all of this power over the human realm of nature. It's like the disciples said after he calmed the sea, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Well, the answer's simple. He's God wrapped in human flesh. Hey, he demonstrated the power of God over the devil, casting out demons. Demons cowered in fear wherever he went, saying, do not punish us. We know who you are. You're the Son of the Most High God. Even Satan couldn't stand up to him. Matthew chapter 4, when Satan tried to tempt him, Jesus said, begone. And Satan had to leave. He demonstrated the power of God over death, the ultimate enemy of every human being. Not only raising people from the dead, but raising himself from the dead in the resurrection. Listen, this is what Romans chapter 1 says. In verse 4, that Jesus demonstrated that he was the Son of God with power. Look at this verse. By the resurrection from the dead. You want the ultimate proof that he's the one-of-a-kind Son of God? Just look at the resurrection. No other ism or ology in the world has or will ever claim that their leader rose from the dead. Why? Because no other ism or ology ever claimed that their leader was God wrapped in human flesh. But that's what Christianity claims, and I wish I had more time here to prove it, but the evidence supporting the resurrection is so strong that even Judge Judy would call it a preponderance of evidence. He's the one-of-a-kind Son of God. That's the gift that God gave the human race. Why? Because that Son of God was going to go to the cross and going to die on the cross and shed his blood on the cross and pay for your sin and my sin in the sight of a holy God with his work on the cross and then rise from the dead to cement and seal the plan of salvation that God had created and perfected through Christ. Yes. What kind of gift? Awesome. Now, third phrase. Because Christ did all that on the cross, here's the third phrase. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one of a kind Son to go and do his work on the cross for us so that whoever believes in him. Whoever believes in him. This word here in the Greek language, pistuo, means doesn't mean intellectual belief at all. actually the word means to rely on something, to put your weight on something, to lean on something, to cling to something, to depend on something. And so that's what the Bible's telling us, that whoever relies on, clings to, puts your weight on, depends on what Jesus did on the cross for us, that whoever believes in that work he did on the cross, shedding his blood to pay for our sin in the sight of a holy God, so that we don't have to be condemned by the holiness of God when we stand before him. Whoever clings to that, relies on that and nothing else, not your good works, not your religious activity, and not your trying to be a nice person, and not your trying to keep the Ten Commandments. No, no. Whoever relies on what Jesus did, his work on the cross, plus nothing that you and I do in our human energy. Whoever does that, finally, number four, watch, shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. You know, a number of years ago, when my youngest son, John, was 17, we used to go out back then and we used to pick out our own Christmas tree, a live Christmas tree. And so I came to John one Saturday and I said, "Hey, John," he was playing video games. I said, "Hey, John, how about coming with Dad, please? And I need your help to go pick out a Christmas tree, please." And he said, "Nah, I don't want to go." And I said, "Come on, John, we'll have fun. And I could use your help." "No, I don't want to do it." And I said, "Okay, John, I tell you what. You have two choices. Choice number one, you can come with me to help me pick out a Christmas tree. And when you get back, you're on restriction and you can't play Nintendo for a week. That's choice number one. Or choice number two, you can come with me to help me pick out a Christmas tree, and when you come back, you can go back to your Nintendo. Now, which choice do you prefer?" He said, "I think I'll take choice number two." I said, "You're a very smart man, John." I don't know about you, my friends, but I love it when I know what my choices are. I love it when I know clearly what my options are. And God right here does us the favor of telling us what our options are. Option number one, we can perish. Option number two, we can have everlasting life in him in heaven. That's it. Those are our options. That's the option of every single human being: alive, perish, everlasting life with God in heaven. That's it. Take your choice, God says. But those are your options. And which option does God want us to take? Well, he wants us to take option number two: coming to be with him in heaven and enjoying heaven for eternity with everlasting life. That's why he sent Jesus into the world that first Christmas day, to die on the cross and pay for our sins in the sight of a holy God and purchase our salvation and our forgiveness. That's why he did it. Of course, that's the option he wants us to choose. It's the option he wants you to choose. It's the option he wants me to choose. And now, let me show you the very best thing about the whole verse. The very best thing: for God so loved the world that he gave us his one-of-a-kind son, that whoever clings to him and what he did for us on the cross, whoever relies on that, depends on that, plus nothing shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. The best part of the whole deal, of the whole offer, is look. Look at the verse. It says that whoever believes in him, whoever clings to him, this word, whoever, is the best word in the whole verse. You say, why? Because what this means is that it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter what you've said, it doesn't matter how bad you've been, it doesn't matter how awful you feel you are as a person, it doesn't matter how awful everybody else knows that you are as a person, it doesn't matter if you've been in jail, it doesn't matter if you've been in reform school, it doesn't matter if your parents sent you away to a military academy for your behavior, it doesn't matter if you're a criminal, it doesn't matter if you've had an abortion, it doesn't matter if you force somebody else to have an abortion, it doesn't matter what you've done. You're still a whoever. Yeah, you are. You're still a whoever. Hey, 52 years ago, walking on the streets of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, a student at UNC Chapel Hill, I was, without a doubt, one of the most profane human beings that you could ever imagine. In fact, I was so profane that if I really told you how bad I was, you wouldn't, first of all, you probably wouldn't even believe it. And if you did, you'd never want to be around me again. I was the worst. But you know what? I was still a whoever. I was still a whoever. And when that street preacher, Bob Eckhart, presented the gospel to me, presented John 3:16 to me, presented God's offer in this verse to me, he said to me, I don't care how you've been, how bad you've been, this offer's still for you. You're still a whoever. So you qualify. My friends, I don't care who you are, what you've done, where you've been, how bad you've messed up, how awful you think you are, and how awful you might actually be. You're still a whoever. And so this is for you. This offer is for you. How great is that? My friend, you don't need to fix yourself up. You don't need to clean yourself up. You don't need to dress yourself up. You don't need to pick yourself up. You don't need to do anything to yourself. You just need to come to Christ and give up everything else you've ever trusted to pay for your sin and get you into heaven and get you eternal life. Forget all of that and instead place your entire trust on the work of Christ on the cross for you. His blood shed to pay for your sin and cover your sin in the sight of a holy God. That's all you got to do. This is the offer. You say it sounds too simple. Well, it is simple. Why would God want to make it hard? God wants it so simple that little children can understand this and do it. Why would he want to make it hard? My son James, my oldest son, he did this when he was 2.5 years old. And as far as I know, he's never had a crisis of faith since. He did John 3:16 at 2.5. He could understand it. Look, God wants it simple. Don't, my friend, be educated beyond your intelligence. It's simple because God wants everybody to be able to do it easily. And so in just a second, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. to do this very thing with me. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his one-of-a-kind son for you. Sent him to the cross for you. That if you would cling to that work of Christ on the cross, if you would rely on that as your only hope of heaven and eternal life, you will not perish. You have God's promise, and God can't lie. You will not perish, but you will have everlasting life and spend it with the Lord in heaven forever. My dad would sometimes come home having bought something without having talked to my mom in advance, and she would often fuss at him for doing that. And I'll never forget what my dad used to love to say to her. He used to say, "Honey, this was such a deal. How could I turn down a deal like this?" My friends, what Jesus Christ did for you and me on the cross, God's plan of salvation centered in the work of Christ on the cross, it's such a deal. How could you turn down a deal like this? I hope you won't. I hope you'll grab it. Let's bow our heads. And if you've never done what this verse says, if you've never given up everything else you've ever trusted to get you into heaven, pay for your sin in the sight of God, give you eternal life, and trusted just what Jesus did for you on the cross, I want to give you a chance right now to do it. How great it would be to say, "I gave my life to Christ on Christmas weekend, back in 2023. So here we go. We're going to pray a very short prayer, one phrase at a time. You pray after me. I'll pray out loud. You can pray depending where you are, either out loud or silently. Let's go. Lord Jesus, I come to you today because I want everlasting life. The way you promised me here in John 3:16. And so today, I want to take you up on your offer here in John 3:16. Today, I relinquish and reject everything else I've ever trusted to pay for my sins and get me into heaven. And instead, today, I embrace, I cling to, I put my reliance on the work of Jesus on the cross, shedding his blood to pay for my sin in your holy sight, God. Lord Jesus, give me the eternal life that you promised me here in John 3:16. As I believe and trust in you, like you say here in this verse. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Wow. Now, if you did that, I'm proud of you. Way to go. All right. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to our website, LonSolomonMinistries.com. I want you to go to up on the top menu to sermons. I want you to hit that and scroll down until you see Spiritual Boot Camp. It's there. Just scroll down a little bit. It's a series I did for brand new Christians, like boot camp for people brand new in the military service. And I want you to listen to those messages. I want you to listen to them 3 or 4 times each. And I want you to imbibe and to get this information as a new foundation for your life, your Christian life, beginning today. Now, if you didn't pray this prayer with me today, but you thought about it, yeah, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go listen to Spiritual Boot Camp, because after you listen, you may just have had enough of your questions answered that you're ready to pray it there at that time. So, Spiritual Boot Camp, and for those of us who've already prayed and asked the Lord in our life, praise God for the greatest Christmas gift ever that He gave you and me. Why? Because He loves us. Why? I don't know. But He does. And what do we say about the fact that God loves us? Say it with me. Come on now. How great is it God loves us? What do we say? Come on. How sweet it is. God bless you. Merry Christmas.